Long before interstates and over-the-road trucking, America moved its goods on the water. River barges carry just about any kind of commodity. They emit less pollution than trucks and trains, and the river route is cheaper than both the road and the rail. The nation's farms, coal mines, and quarries depend on rivers like the Mississippi, Ohio, and Missouri to keep their products moving. Business is healthy on the Mississippi and the Ohio, but on the Missouri, barges carry just a third of the cargo they did 30 years ago. Many shippers say drought and overregulated dam releases make the water levels too unreliable to plan the big hauls that bring in the most profits. Paul Davis runs Interstate Marine Terminals, 200 miles upstream from where the Missouri River meets the Mississippi near St. Louis. He ships and stores fertilizer from his dock. But Davis says when the river runs low, barges are not his best option.
The real adjustment that I've made is going from river to rail.
Logistically, the adjustment is easy. The Union Pacific Railroad line runs just a few feet from Davis's dock, but it costs him about $15 more per ton to move goods by rail. Davis says river barges might be profitable again if old feuds over water management would end.
There's business out there. It could come back if people quit fighting and start agreeing, and confidence would return to shipping on the Missouri River. But I can't afford to wait and see. I've got to make adjustments.
The fighting puts business against the environment. Shippers want enough water to move freight, but environmentalists want the river to rise and recede like it did before the Army Corps of Engineers started changing it. The conflict goes back to the 1930s. Congress ordered the Corps to make the river safe for barges. That meant clearing snags and sandbars from a 735-mile stretch from Sioux City, Iowa to St. Louis, Missouri. The Corps also confined the river with earthen levees. Opponents say it turned the Missouri into a characterless ditch. The Corps spends $7 million a year to maintain the channel. Spokesman Paul Johnston says despite the dwindling volume of river traffic, the Corps is mandated to keep the river open.
The Corps of Engineers, like any federal agency, does not have the option to pick and choose which laws it's going to obey or not obey.
But critics say wildlife has paid for the Corps' mandate. Over the years, dams and channels eliminated 500,000 acres of wetland habitat. Birds lost their sandbar nesting grounds, and fish no longer found shallow backwaters to lay their eggs. Among the hardest-hit animals is the pallid sturgeon. It's a long, flat-nosed fish that dates back to the T-Rex. It's been around 70 million years, and for the last 17, it's been on the endangered species list. Chad Smith directs the Nebraska field office of the environmental group American Rivers. He says the pallid sturgeon's fate shows the whole river is in jeopardy.
When it starts to decline, you know, that kind of creature that's so in tune with the Missouri as it was is an indicator that maybe something's not right and it's going to be the first thing to fall.
So Congress told the Corps to take on a recovery mission. The agency spends more than $50 million a year to rebuild shallow water habitat for fish and birds. The Corps hopes a water resources bill pending in Congress will increase its habitat restoration budget to $80 million. In 2006, the Corps launched its most controversial restoration program to date. It released extra water from a South Dakota reservoir to mimic the natural flood pulse that occurs on the Missouri River every spring. That triggers the sturgeon to spawn. Conservationists herald last year's man-made spring rise as a long-overdue sign of progress. But barge companies on the lower Missouri are upset. They say the spring rise brings a drop in the river's depth in the summer, which means less cargo they're carrying and less money they're making. For the Environment Report, I'm Kevin Lavery.